is Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.
Hey there. Once again, talking about trans folk, because you want to know, and I want to tell you. So sit back, listen, learn, and hopefully laugh. Trans journey, where I get to talk about a little bit of my own life. I'm going to talk about shyness. We all have it, from kids to adults. It's not something that comes readily in regards to being ballsy and getting out there and having the ability to get out there and mix and socialize. Some people are shy, and believe it or not, for me as a kid, I was pretty shy. You know, I always used to look at the other kids that I was going to school with thinking, wow, they're so cool and they're out there doing their stuff. And, well, not me. I wasn't interested in having the kinds of friends because I was just too shy. And I guess it didn't really help either that I had dyslexia and I wasn't really aware of what that was. I mean, no one really diagnosed me with it until I was well into high school. And then it was told to me that I probably had this when I was in school, public school, kindergarten, all these other different things, because I could never put numbers together. I knew phone numbers, but when I would go to write them down onto paper, they would always be jumbled up. And the same thing happened with letters. I mean, I can write down the letters of a word and I know that those letters are there and that makes up that word. But if you read it, it's not what you're going to get. So that was one of the things that prevented me from doing things with other kids, because I got put on the spot at an early age and wondering what was going on, why I was so wrong about the worst use of the word, vegetable, for example. When I was talking about vegetable in school, I thought it was valen tables. Now, really? How do you get valen tables from vegetable? Think about it. I mean, I took out the G and took out a few other letters and mixed it all up and suddenly it was valen tables. But I was so bloody nervous in school and I was always trying to do my best and I just couldn't figure that out. No, I was one of those kids who was too busy thinking about, does the universe end? Is there life on other planets? How did I get here? How is it that my parents got together at that exact moment and suddenly, poof, I was born and I was made me? Well, that was what I was busy thinking about in school. Who gave a shit about 2 plus 2 equals 4, 4 plus 4 equals 8, or my ABCDEFGs, you know? But whatever. I mean, it all came natural later on in life to the fact that I know 5 languages and I can understand 6 and do all these other different fun, fabulous things now. But so what? I mean, I was so busy thinking about metaphysical things and, you know, and well, and why my teacher's haircut was so weird, because on one side it was so long and on the other side it was so short, not knowing that it was asymmetric, and not only knowing that later on in life I was going to be a hairdresser as well. So there you go. Actually, I got put over her knee for that one. Maybe that's something to be said about why I got, well, I'm going to talk about that in Transonic a bit later on. But, you know, getting a spanking by asking a teacher about her haircut, why it was short on one side along, is really just kind of didn't really jive with me. That was just weird. But, friends in school, they always seemed to be girlfriends. And because I liked hanging around with the girls. They were fun. They were, you know, into dressing up and playing the games that I wanted to play. I wasn't interested in running around the yard playing soccer or all these other things. And mind you, when I was playing more aggressive games with the kids later on, it was more because I was angry and I just like, yeah, this is a great way to get my pent-up aggression going on. And if you listen to, some of my earlier talks and stories about my life growing up, riding a bicycle, lasting impressions were always left on me. So when I was embarrassed in school by not being able to speak the word vegetable properly, or even count by numbers like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, or 5, 10, 15, 20, or 10, 20, 30, 40, that really bothered me. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to do it. I mean, I was so busy painting and doing all kinds of creative things and doing that shit that why did it matter? And why did it matter at that time? I mean, I think things are different today, and I really hope they are for the kids that are in school, because there are so many other things that we really need to worry about. I do think it's important that, you know, kids learn their ABCs and how to read and write and do numbers, but God, to freak out over it to that point, to get put over your teacher's knee, well, I guess because I got asked about her haircut because I wasn't really paying attention. I was always daydreaming about, does the universe really end? Where do we come from? Where did I come from? You know? And like I said, even my girlfriends too, I was always playing with those, but I do remember one time time in school that we were playing, this girl and I, in the cubby hole. They had these cubby holes that we called them at school, and they were where the doors of our classrooms went to the outside, and they were talking. Next thing I know, there's this group of kids gathering around the cubby hole, and of course all the boys were there, and they were telling us to kiss, kiss, kiss. So we did a little peck on the cheeks, and then it was a peck on the lips, and that was it. It was so innocent and it was so nothing, but that really kind of cemented our friendship after that, because it just got so weird and got so weird with the other neighborhood kids and all the kids in school that, well, we were kind of put on a pedestal as, you know, the kissing bees is what they called us, the kissing bees. And it's like, well, you kids are assholes. That's plain and simple. They can be really mean. You know, and when it came to public speaking, I wasn't very good at that either, because I was always so shy and painfully shy. And when we had to speak in public, I always chose subjects that bored the shit out of the classmates. I don't know why, but I did. You know, talk of tarantulas and how tarantulas used to mate. You know, or I remember one that I did too on the praying mantis. Maybe that's saying something about me talking about stories about insects mating. Isabella Rossellini had it right when she did her thing, didn't she? Translation. The art of the pass. Daily activities that so many people do. It's always interesting to see what people are up to and how they're managing to cope in society and daily life, especially people in my shoes and going through what they're going through. And one of the things that many of them get involved in is corsetry. And yes, corsetry, waist training, involving the stomach, getting the stomach down and small. Because if you don't have a good breast to waist to hip ratio, well, you're not really going to create much of a feminine appearance. And that's so important for so many of these individuals out there. And I'm not talking about the cross-dressers with the beer belly throwing on 13 girdles trying to get it down, or, you know, whatever they're doing to their face to put the tape around there to make them look like they're so feminine and so gorgeous. I'm talking the ones who are actually avidly doing it and getting out there and getting all this stuff going. And they're, you know, I'm talking about people that are going to the gym, high energy aerobics, trying to lose that weight around the midriff. Because I'll tell you, when you're going through any sort of transition from male to female, for example, and the hormones that are running rampant through your body, and even before hormones are running rampant through you, you want to get your adrenaline up there, you want to get your weight off, you want to get your waist slim and trim, and you want to keep those muscles taut. Because, you know, as I've learned through anatomy and different studies with doctors and all kinds of different individuals along my journey, is that the muscles in the abdomen, they get very weak later on in life, and especially if you're drinking lots of beer or booze or whatever it is you're doing, or you're just not really keeping yourself very fit in the gym, it starts to sag and starts to get big around the waist, and then you start to lose that hourglass shape. So getting into the gym is something that's really important and was really important for me. I've always been very physically fit, and I like to be very active, and I consider myself to be very athletic. So, you know, when the challenge is there for friends and people that I don't know, you can, chances are you can find me in the gym or doing something very sports oriented or physical to prove a point that I can do it just as well. I mean, even my partner right now, he is working with an individual who's, and I'm off the topic a little bit, but not really. And he's, you know, one thing that he's curious about is like, yeah, she's pretty big. She's tall. She's very Amazon-like. And of course, the sex jokes start flying with the boys at the job. But he also says she looks like she's pretty strong. She can take care of herself pretty damn good. And you know what? I can. And that's because I've been at the gym and I've been working out really hard and I'm doing different things. And I think exercise is key for everybody throughout their lives. You know, and if that's not working so well and you really want to go that much further, a lot of them get into the whole idea of girdles. A girdle on top of it. You know what a girdle is. It's that lovely thing that was designed in the 50s that most women were throwing on underneath their clothes so they could drop lots of quaaludes and drink tons of alcohol and clean the house for hubby before he got home and wear those Christian Dior outfits. No, I'm only kidding. But really, that's what a girdle was when it was designed, and that's what they were doing, and that's what they were wearing. Made out of latex and lycra and cotton, and they stretched to unimaginable widths and shrunk right back in to suck it all in and keep it all going. Problem with a girdle is they only go so far and they're only so strong up to a certain point, but they get really hot. I mean, I do like my girdles, and wearing a girdle over top of what I've got going on in terms of my figure is a little bit easier than having a pot belly, and thank God I don't have one of those. But I can tell you, when you start introducing hormones into your body, the belly starts to grow because the hormones start to reposition the fat on the body. And as for myself, and I'm going to talk about this on a later show as well, when it comes into transformations about tummy liposuction. So tune in for that one at some point down the road. But, you know, I've got corsets, I've got girdles, and the corsets are just that one step harder and higher up than girdles. They are metal boned. I think the best ones are metal boned, and they can pull your waist in from anywhere from 2 inches to 4 inches to 6 inches if you're really seriously waist training. And waist training, a lot of people I know that are waist training with the corset, the bust closure at the front and the laces at the back, they keep those things on for a long period of time so they can keep that waist small. And of course, what it also does at that time is it compresses the stomach. Actually, what it does is it forces the guts up and down. So you get a little bit more up into the air passages, up around the lungs, and you get a lot down into the pelvic region there. And a lot of women that I know, they like wearing a corset because it makes the pussy that much tighter and the guys get off that much better. But that's neither here nor there. We'll talk about that a later time, because guess what? I like wearing a corset for the same reason. And then you've got Spanx. Well, Spanx, that's a hardcore lycra body shaper, slimmer, whatever you want to call it. I mean, they're not the first ones to come on the market with that, but they're certainly one of the ones that made it more accessible for people. Just think of pantyhose that are super killer tight. You put those things on, it sucks everything in, and it's like, oh my God, I can't do it anymore. And it keeps everything tucked, and it keeps everything. And you're probably wondering about, what the hell does she mean by tucked? What the fuck is that? Well, I'm going to talk about that another one, but I'll let you in on a little secret. It's where you compress your cock and balls so far between your legs that your balls go right back up inside yourself, and your dick, cock, whatever you want to call it, piss hole, is tucked right between your legs, and it gives a nice, smooth appearance. Well, Spanx helped keep that in place. And if you're not wearing a G-string underneath that to keep it all smooth, rubbing against your genitals, it can get pretty raw. But there you go again. Spanx are made with lycra and cotton, and they're so tight and they're so stretchy. And sweat, something that the big stars in Hollywood are wearing a lot of these days. You know what? They're not angels, and they're certainly not gods either. They're just like fat and slobby like the rest of us. And I'm not saying everybody's fat and slobby, but you know what? They eat and they get out of shape and they do all kinds of different things. You don't think Hollywood's where all the cosmetic surgeries take place for a reason? Transparent. My life out and about. What's going on? I know you want to know. It's fun stuff. Well, being that it's August 4th this coming weekend, that means it's Pride here in Vancouver. And on, I believe it's August the 5th, which is a Sunday, is our Pride Parade. And that is downtown Vancouver. And it starts at 12 noon. And it's on Robson, is where the parade begins. Runs along Denman South down to Pacific Boulevard. And then from Pacific Boulevard, it turns and runs east again. And then finishes up over on Thurlow Street. It's a real fun time. And you'll see a lot of people down there from, you know, trans to gay to straight to bi to hetero. Supporters of everything, something I like to call the happy umbrella of queer. Everyone down there is having a good old time. And that's where you'll see me this weekend as well, out there interviewing and talking to people and hopefully getting to meet Jenna Talakova. She is someone I'm going to talk about a little bit later on today. But it's a real fun time. So come out and be you and enjoy yourself and spread the love and have a good time. Another thing that I want to tell you about as well, and I talked about last time, is Transcendent. This is going to be my interview segment. Well, I was planning on introducing something to you today, but it turns out that we're not going to do that, for the simple reason being I'm getting too much response. People are coming and flocking to be interviewed, and they want to be interviewed, and they want to share their stories with me. And I'm talking about politicians, doctors, lawyers, all kinds of people that are in my social circle that I know through all my activism, through all my fun, through all my hard times, through everything. And just for that reason, I'm making a separate show, and it's going to be called Transcendent. So look for it, and you'll find it, and I know you'll love it. Transsonic, yeah. my world of domination and fetish. Yes, by now, some of you who are listening, if not all of you who are listening, know that Ms. Velvet Steel here is also a professional dominatrix. And when I say professional, I also mean in my personal life, I also play. So I have a good time. But I'm going to talk about my professional world. And that's what an exciting journey that's been for me. And it's been so fun meeting all these individuals along the path that I've come across. And, you know, there's been so many forks in that road that I've pretty much taken all of them and gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I used to throw fetish parties here in Vancouver, and I'm planning on something again. I've got that in the works, so stay tuned for that, because that promises to be something really fun and erotic and hot, hot, hot. And if I have my way, it's going to be hot, hot, hot. I might get into trouble, but I don't care. And, you know, getting out there and dealing with individuals on a one-on-one basis at my location, my dungeon, my whatever you want to call it, has been a real exciting situation. Getting inside the mind of those individuals, getting to learn about what they're all about, creating a fantasy for them and having fun with them. And I don't use the words dungeon and all these different things, because as far as I'm concerned, a dungeon is something that you need to have in a castle. And I've always been one of those kinds of people that has always been out there in the forefront of terminology and changing different things, because I do what I want. I'm a self-styled dominatrix who does what I want. First and foremost, I consider myself to be an eroticist that specializes in the arts of erotic domination and fetish. What is that, you ask? Well, rather than have someone come to my door, start off with, and they're down on their knees and I'm yelling at them and kicking them in the balls or whatever the hell I'm doing, I'm not talking like that. I want a nice hug. I want to greet you at the door. I want to say hello. I want to know what you're all about. And if you're that nervous and you need to, then I'm going to pour you up a shot of a scotch or whatever it is you want to drink, and you can sort of chill, and we can have a little game of 20 questions. We can go a little further and talk about what it is that you're interested in. Of course, I'm not sitting there, you know, inappropriately attired. At least I don't think I am. I've got generally the stilettos on that are, well, 6 inches or more. I mean, you just can't do something like that in 6 inches or less, right? Really, as far as I'm concerned. Stockings, garters, corsets, full makeup, nails, hair, all that stuff. It's just so sexy. And if anybody out there listening thinks that it's a non-sexual world domination, you're so full of shit. I'll tell you why. Because if you're going to answer the door dressed like that, you're going to tell me that's not commanding some sort of sexual attention. Yes, I'll get in trouble for that for some of those other bitches out there, but I don't give a shit. They can go fuck themselves as far as I'm concerned, because I pay and carved my own path, and I've been at it for quite some time. There's a reason why I've got $40,000 worth of equipment, toys, and furniture at my place, at my salon d'amusement, as I call it, and it's all insured. Bet you didn't know that either. And that was under the guidance of my insurance broker, who said to me, you know, knowing what you've done, because I've seen you on TV and on the news, you should think about getting your stuff insured. Well, how do I do that? I asked. Well, you consider it a collection. And honestly and truthfully, it really is a collection, because I've got high heels. I think I probably got 103 pairs of high heels and counting. Boots, it doesn't include the boots that I've got, which I think is around 45, thigh highs, knee highs, ankle height, all with a 6-inch stiletto height or higher. Well, the highest I have is 9 inches. I've got corsets galore. I've got outfits galore. I've got probably 32 different kinds of wigs and hair colors going on. I've got a human spinning wheel. I've got St. Andrew's Cross. Oh, the list is going to go on and on and on and on, but I'll tell you about that in future segments, because my world of domination and fetish is fun, and I'm going to share with you some of my most embarrassing moments and some of my most serious moments and some of my most sad moments. So I expect you all to tune in to that one, because I'm going to demystify that world like there's no tomorrow. Transmissions. An email from a listener in England. This one's an interesting one. This is from a listener who is 28, and she is asking if it was easy coming out to family and friends. I don't think coming out is really easy for anybody, for anything, for any reason, to be honest with you. And I'll tell you why I think that. Because I think most people in your family have a preconceived notion as to what you're supposed to be and what you're all about. And your friends, well, if they're your friends, those that matter don't care. And those that care don't matter. So that's the way I look at that. And when coming out to my family was important to me, I had decided that my process was going to be devising some sort of method to tell them. I'd already been living my life and I'd already been doing my different things and I'd already been doing lots of different things with part members of my family who didn't really give a shit. And when it came right down to the decision to do my surgical reassignment surgery, I had my brother come visit me. I had my sister call me. I had my other sister call me. And I'll tell you about my sister in a second. But my father at this time was going to be one of the hardest challenges. And I realized that the rest of my family, the ones outside of my closest family, really didn't matter. Because if they really cared about me and loved me for who I was, they were going to be there anyway. And I was absolutely 100% right on that one. And when I met them after the surgery, after coming back from England, I told them right there to their face with, you know, no shock and amazement, except the words, "Oh, we already kind of knew." It's like, well, I wish you'd have told me that from day one. That would have made it so much more easier for me. But I got the support. I was happy with that. And I was so extremely elated that, you know, life moved on. But my father was a whole different trip. He's a person who is very particular and very hard to deal with. And now this is only my experience, but you're going to have to take it from there, dear listener in England, and figure it out for yourself. But I'll know that you need to have the guts to do it and stand true to who you are and believe in who you are and do what you want to do. So sending my father a letter was what I did. I carefully crafted that letter. I sent it off to him and I didn't get no response. And, you know, maybe my timing was off, but I didn't really care. And I didn't intend for him to be the last one to know, which he feels he did, because my sister got on the phone to Denmark and told all my family over there about how fabulous and great this was going to be after I asked her not to. But anyway, and it came back around to him and then he got the letter. He didn't speak to me for almost 3 years. Yep. He took that letter and he reread it every day for almost 2 weeks. And I know he still has that letter because he told me. And so close to 3 years went by. I lived my life. He would ask about me, what was going on through the others, my brother and sisters. And finally, you know, close to that 3 year period, and we're going back, well, 17 years now because I'm only 29. But anyway, yeah, so that was 14 years ago. He gave me a call and asked if I could find a hotel room in Vancouver for him to come and stay at and how much it would cost. I did all the research, found out, presented it back to him. And then in my conversation with him, said, "Why are you coming out here?" "Well, if you're interested in seeing me and having me in your life again, I'm interested in coming." And of course, my whole thing to him was, my door was never closed. It's always been an open door. That was your choice. But that's neither here nor there. Bygones be bygones. And when I picked him up at the airport, it was a little tense, to be honest with you. He stayed with me, wouldn't look at me, wouldn't give me a hug. And I was the big one to go over there and just give him a hug and say, "Hey, what's going on?" Then he reciprocated with a nice big hug too. Well, it wasn't too long after I was in the car driving back downtown, all the questions started to fly. And he's asking me about, could I have sex? Could I have orgasm? How was this? How was that? Was all this stuff? And, you know, kind of one of those things where you're thinking to yourself, "Oh, questions from my dad that I don't really want to have, but I'm going to answer anyway." So that's pretty good. Now I get questions from him about Viagra and all these other different things because I'm so out there in all the sexual forefront. But that's my experience. So, and as long as that may be in terms of my rambling, you got to do what you got to do and you got to check it out for yourself. Because I think if you're true to yourself and you're strong and you face the world, and if that's where you're going, because I think that could be where you're going if I'm reading correctly from your question and your little bit of letter here. You need to do it, and everybody will eventually come around. Transcription. News from around the world. News pertaining to transgendered folk. People like myself. Here's one for you. Lithuania proposes anti-trans law. A draft law in Lithuania could worsen the situation for transgender people. Under pressure of the UN and Europe, the Lithuanian Ministry of Justice has proposed new draft legislation where people who have undergone gender reassignment surgery are to be issued new identity cards without a lengthy court procedure. But at the same time, legislators want to remove existing provisions for state-sponsored gender reassignment and object to including them in the new legislation as they would legitimize immoral surgeries in Lithuania. Huh. That change appears to go against the spirit of international demands. Human rights advocates argue that as if such proposals are put into law, the situation of transgender persons could even become worse. Transgender people face two major obstacles in Lithuania. Firstly, gender reassignment surgeries are not properly recognized by law. Secondly, if a transgender person undergoes gender reassignment abroad, they are refused new documents in Lithuania. To be issued with new documents, they must currently apply through a lengthy court process, which is what the Ministry of Justice proposal would have resolved. Bizarre. Representatives of the Lithuanian government promised to change the current practice at the recent United Nations Human Rights Committee session in Geneva, where the country's laws regarding gender identity were criticized. To this end, the Lithuanian Ministry of Justice has put forward a procedure allowing civil registry offices to register gender reassignment upon presentation of a medical statement. I can tell you about my situation. Until now, civil registry offices have been able to issue new identity cards corresponding to the person's gender identity only with a court order. While this part of the proposed legislation is an improvement, the proposed draft law also stipulates the removal of existing state provisions for gender reassignment. Following a ruling by the European Court of Human Rights, ECTHR, in 2007, Lithuania is obliged to enact a law regulating the procedure and conditions of gender reassignment. At present, the Civil Code provides that any unmarried person of full age is entitled to medical gender reassignment if medically feasible, but a law enforcing this is missing. To comply with the ruling, the Lithuanian Ministry of Justice suggested fully removing support for state-sponsored gender reassignment surgery. With no such law, the reason for the ECTHR's decision would be eliminated, according to the Lithuanian Justice Vice Minister. Right-wing politician Antanas Matulas, chairman of the Parliamentary Committee on Health Affairs, which oversees the reforms, suggested going even further so the draft law must include a clause prohibiting any medical gender reassignment. What an asshole. His situation is that if you're a transgendered person, you should find another treatment, and if nothing else helps, and if you really believe that nature and God, why is God in here, have made a mistake, some cash... Save some cash and go somewhere else and let someone cut off or attach whatever you might wish. I'd like to do something to cutting off him. But I will never agree to such surgeries being financed at the expenses of actually ill persons, those with cancer, diabetes, or heart disease. The initiatives by the Ministry of Justice have been criticized by Lithuanian Gay League, LGL, who believes they will make the situation even worse for transgendered persons in Lithuania. Veteran LGBT rights advocate Peter Tatchell slammed the proposed draft law. Lithuanian stance on transgender issues goes against its obligations under the European Convention on Human Rights and the rulings of the European Court of Human Rights. The new policy will place unjustified obstacles and dignities on trans people. I can tell you on my own experiences that after coming back from my surgeries, I came back as a functioning person, ready to work and be a part of the community and society. So by having access to surgery and funding for surgery, it made me want to be that much more productive in society. And who's to say that someone like myself, having gone for SRS surgery, wouldn't come back and actually go to be a doctor so I could help those people with cancer or diabetes or heart disease and things like that? I mean, that doesn't make any ounce of sense to me. And as for God, well, I guess this individual is kind of forgetting that there's so many religions out there in the world, and that whatever God it is that you got, this has nothing to do with it. This is about people. This is about being happy and moving forward with your life, as far as I'm concerned. Trans teen banned from exam reads teacher her rights. A transgender teenager banned from taking an exam unless she went home and changed into boys' clothing used UK equality laws to slam the school's bigoted head teacher. Ashlyn Parham was told she wasn't allowed to take her first GCSE exams at Giles Academy, Boston, Lincolnshire, because she was wearing tights, skirt, and a blazer, The Sun reported. However, after refusing to go home and change into a boy's uniform, the 16-year-old went to the head office of the head teacher, Chris Wall, and showed him a copy of the Equality Act 2010, which protects transgender people from discrimination. She was eventually allowed to sit the paper, but was placed away from the other students in the hall. Like, what the hell is that supposed to be about? You could sit, why wouldn't you sit with all the rest of the students? It's still some sort of bias there, don't you think? Anyway, Ashlyn, who was living openly as a girl at home for 2 years, told the British tabloid that she has never felt so bad about herself and described how bullies at school spat and hit her in the past. She said, "It's sad people can't be more open-minded. I've lost a lot of friends because of everything I've been through. I really didn't need to lose the support of my teachers. Absolutely not." Ashlyn has been diagnosed with gender dysphoria and is waiting to receive hormone therapy. According to her mom, Miranda, a senior teacher told her daughter that gender dysphoria didn't exist. Wow. While another imitated her walk. Well, I thought that was irritated. Irritated her walk in front of the other pupils. He blasted the school's treatment of Ashlyn as appalling and disgusting. A school spokesman said Giles Academy is an Ofsted outstanding school in a caring environment with robust equalities policies. The governing body of the academy rejects all the allegations. Now, if any of you have been listening to my shows, you will have heard me talk about another trans individual who happens to be a female-to-male transgendered young teenager who is actually trying to save up her own money, his own money, to go to his own school to avoid bullying and all the stuff that this poor Ashlyn went through in England. And finally, something for all you people coming into Vancouver for our Pride Parade. Trans Miss Universe finalist to lead Vancouver Pride Parade. A transgender beauty queen who won a battle to compete for the Miss Universe crown after originally being ousted from the competition will lead Vancouver's Pride Parade. Jenna Talikova was temporarily banned from competing in Miss Universe Canada, but after threatening legal action, succeeded in changing the rules of the competition so that future transgender women can freely take part in the beauty pageant. The Vancouverite will be one of the three grand marshals to take part in the Canadian city's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Festival on the 5th of August. Local gay sports pioneer Bill Monroe will also join Talikova as a marshal, as well as posthumously community activist David Holtzman, who died in Palm Springs in April. I loved David, and he was actually a very close friend. It was a shock to all of us, and so I'm happy that he's there along with these wonderful people. Talikova was reinstated as a contestant in Miss Universe Canada after threats of legal action and a public Twitter spat with Donald Trump, who sponsors the awards. Although she was not one of the four runner-ups, she made it into the top 12 semifinalists and won the Miss Congeniality Award with Kylie Apers, Maria Julia Nahri, and Maria Cecilia Nicholas.
Listening to Transistor with your host, Velvet Steel.